This is Radio Parallax, a slightly different perspective from a slightly different view, with topics that include matters in science, technology, history, politics, current events, and whatever we damn well please. And now the host of Radio Parallax, Douglas Everett.
Welcome to Radio Parallax. It's Thursday, it's 5 o'clock. You've had the good sense to tune in to 90.3 FM on your dial, and for that, we salute you. Let's take up where we left off last week, or let's actually do some things that have happened in the interim. Since last week, some updates and some follow-ups from previous programs. For starters, we told you some months back about the near-Earth objects, the search for SAME, and the possibility of diverting perhaps some of the ridiculous funding we're putting for the Strategic Defense Initiative into a more useful purpose, that of diverting or stopping these large objects that periodically crash into the Earth from doing so. While experts were telling Congress or talking to them about the possibility that these relatively small-scale meteor strikes could set off nuclear alarms, this is a matter of some concern being that, for example, Pakistan and India are facing each other with nuclear weapons, and if one of these large objects came blowing into the sky, it would be hard to distinguish that from a nuclear blast. While experts were telling Congress about this, such an event took place over Siberia, when a rather sizable meteorite came in and blew off with perhaps several tons worth of TNT-type explosion into the sky, and certainly underscored the need for more surveillance, and something that we certainly back and hope that we can fund such a worthwhile effort. And speaking of cosmic fireworks, we want to give you a head up for next week's possibility of a meteor storm. Yes, a meteor storm, not a meteor shower. Now, a meteor shower is something where you go out certain nights of the year and you might see 60 meteors, for example, in an hour. We've usually done this on summer nights. Last year, we were treated to a meteor storm where the rates increased up to like 1,000 meteors per hour, which was quite something to see up in the foothills. Estimates are that this year there will be a similar storm or perhaps even greater on the night of November 18th through the 19th. We will be bringing you back to the story in the future and outlining what you might want to do to see this. The weather is always iffy in November in California, but if you have a chance to travel to see this, we certainly would recommend it. It was quite something last year, and like I say, could be even better this year. In other not related but interesting science news from the field of astronomy, astronomers announced in the last week that there is a Saturn-sized planet orbiting one of the more nearby stars to the Earth. In fact, the star is Fomalhaut, which is visible about this time of year. If you go out around midnight and look south, you'll see the only relatively bright star near the southern horizon is Fomalhaut. It's something like 25 light years away, which makes it pretty much in the cosmic neighborhood as these things go. They were able to locate some clumps of material using infrared imagery, showing that Fomalhaut is forming a solar system such as our star, the Sun, did 4.6 billion years ago. And in the infrared material, there's a lumpy object that appears to be orbiting, which is actually visible, surprisingly visible to Earth cameras. And it's just something to imagine now that as you go out and look at Fomalhaut at night, that you're looking at a star that has a rather substantial planet around it. We found a lot of planets around a lot of stars, but none of them are that nearby. This is one of the first ones you can go out and actually very easily pick out from the heavens. I meant to mention something interesting on last week's show regarding my trip down to Los Angeles, an effort to break onto the Jeopardy program, which, that still remains to be seen whether they will call me back. But on the way down, I noticed that they did not ask those two rote questions we've all been subjected to for the past 16 years. And it was kind of a relief not to be asked, have your bags been in your possession at all times, or has anyone unknown to you asked you to carry anything on board this plane? This routine security check was a smashing failure. In 16 years, it did not produce a single arrest. And when people realized that in the wake of the 9/11 attacks, that the hijackers could have answered those questions truthfully and still gone about their nefarious business, people sort of concluded that maybe it's time to give this one a rest. And in that, I always remember Paula Poundstone's great line that she would describe going into the airport, being asked those questions, and then look at the clerk, surprised, and say, well, yeah, I always use Mohammed's Packing Service. Our national elections, of course, are just 3 weeks away, and we have some early returns and we'd like to report before the polls have opened in Florida. It appears that Katherine Harris has been announced as the winner in her congressional race and will be representing her district in Congress next fall. We hope to have an interview with Ms. Harris on the show next week. And if you think this is a premature prediction, well, just trust me on this one, okay? Now, we've been confused, we have to confess, for some time on this program regarding the U.S. intentions in using our military overseas. We've pointed out in prior shows that, as far as we recall, we were attacked by Osama bin Laden last year, and yet all focus now seems to be on the government in Iraq, that of Saddam Hussein. And we apparently are prepared now to go to war after having the U.S. Congress, rather surprisingly, hand the Bush administration what appears to be a carte blanche to conduct foreign policy as they see fit. Coming on the show at this point to perhaps clear this matter up as to what's going on as regards the potential war against Iraq is White House spokesman Yuri Fleischman. Mr. Fleischman?
Yes.
What can you tell us about plans for war on Iraq?
Well, nothing. But what I can do is help you understand why a talk of war is needed in this fall election season.
Well, why is war suddenly needed against a man who has launched no major aggression since George Bush Sr. called off the Gulf War after 100 hours of ground fighting 11 years ago?
Well, U.S. interests are ill-served by waiting until a potential adversary like Iraq can gain superiority to our forces.
Well, does anyone see that coming up, superiority to our forces?
Well, we have assessments suggesting that breakthroughs could reduce us to a second-best military position vis-a-vis Baghdad.
Well, what's that? I mean, the U.S. was never in second place against the Soviets in the whole Cold War, and how can Saddam achieve something like that in one fell swoop?
Well, I suppose he got photon torpedoes.
Excuse me?
Well, imagine him with photon torpedo-type weaponry, or weapons of mass destruction like particle beams.
Particle beams?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Or even ray guns, for that matter.
Are you serious?
Quite. Yeah. Imagine the scenario of America's fighting boys deployed against an infantry with ray guns. Now, that is a grim picture, isn't it?
Yes, but how realistic?
Doug, I hope you recognize the need to knock out Saddam now before he obtains, say, a transporter like Star Trek, enabling him to send men wherever he wished. I think you're going to have to agree that such scenarios must be nipped in the bud. You see, the president will use force to prevent another nation from getting an advantage over us.
Oh, my. How is the search for bin Laden going?
Okay, we're still looking. Yeah.
Well, good, good.
But in the meantime, why should we not tumble pell-mell right into war?
Well, Bin Laden attacked us, not Saddam. Maybe that'd be a reason.
But how long should we allow him to go on strutting about, swaggering, making defiant speeches with that stabbing motions of his index finger like an Arab Fidel Castro?
I don't know. About a little while longer.
He is a madman, Doug.
Well, Mr. Fleischman, he's ruthless, but what evidence is there that he's mad?
He put $1 million in his Charles Schwab account and then took no actions on his investment. Now, this we know.
And I guess the no-activity charges then ate up his principal?
Yeah, and that's only in 9 years, too.
Well, I have to admit, that was nuts. But, you know, a lot of us have done similar things.
Well, perhaps you don't realize that numerous connections of al-Qaeda to the Baghdad regime have been found also.
Well, now, please, name some of those.
The 9/11 terrorists that met al-Qaeda operatives in Malaysia stayed in Kuala Lumpur at the Baghdad guesthouse.
The Baghdad guest house. Mm-hmm. These are the guys that in San Diego who were in the phone book?
That's right. That was an unfortunate lapse in intelligence gathering. But yes, them. They not only stayed in a suspiciously named guest house, but both were known to have purchased Euphrates chocolate chip cookies right here in the U.S.
Well, now, how do you know that?
I am authorized to tell you that it was Safeway Club card data.
Wow. Well, now, Euphrates, that's the name of a river known for a chocolatey color.
That's correct. It's a river in Iraq.
Anything else?
Well, one hijacker visited Iran, which is located not only right next door to the Baghdad regime, but it has only one letter different in its name.
Just one letter, huh?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You just change one letter, the N in Iran, make it a Q. What have you got then? Our intelligence is solid on this visit to Iran.
Hmm. So you're sure about this one?
Oh, absolutely. Among personal effects, we found towels stolen from the Tehran Travelodge.
Wow.
And ashtrays, too.
Hmm. Well, I guess that is solid intelligence.
And we traced shipments of hummus from Iraq to numerous Palestinian weddings in the West Bank.
So?
Several celebrants there are suspected of having cousins connected to organizations linked to Hamas, the terrorist-supporting organization in Palestine.
Well, what does that prove?
Well, if if Hamas went to support Hamas, we wonder if Baghdad was sending us a message, maybe a code.
You know, I wonder if the CIA boys that see a code in that maybe are hearing voices in their head.
Yeah, I must be running along. Thank you, Doug.
Well, sir, we do hope that you find bin Laden so that perhaps this diversionary war on Saddam Hussein might be aborted.
Sure. Here's a tip for you, Doug. Buy defense stocks.
Well, would you please inform the White House when you go back there that this is day 401 in the search for public enemy number one?
Who?
Osama bin Laden, at least I would think, anyway.
Yeah, him. No comment.
Well, thank you once again for coming on the show, Mr. Yuri Fleischman.
Yeah, no comment.
Well, seriously, last week with Steve Valentino on the show, we ran a little bit over and recorded a session we'd planned to air on this week's program involving the Gulf of Tonkin incident, where we were going to hearken back to what happened in 1964 when supposedly the U.S. was attacked by Vietnamese PT boats, when it appears that it didn't happen. Although it didn't happen, it didn't stop us from getting involved much more deeply in the Vietnam War when the House and Senate, rather foolishly, they turned over war powers to President Johnson, which he had not had before, to launch punitive airstrikes in North Vietnam, which was instrumental in losing so many lives in a war that probably should not have gone down the way it did. And yet, before there has been even such a provocation as regards Iraq, it appears that Congress has perhaps very unwisely voted to give the Bush administration all at once in terms of a free hand and how to act. I'm very saddened by this. We pretty much think the Gulf of Tonkin incident, that discussion that we had recorded, we're pretty much tossing the wastebasket because the warning now looks like it's after the fact. The debate that took place in Congress on this is rather stunning in how in this election year it appears Democrats and Republicans did not want to take a stand against giving George Bush this sort of authorization. Bob Burr, Democrat of West Virginia, seemed willing to do so, but very few of his colleagues were, including people like Senator Hillary Clinton of New York, which surprises me somewhat. On Slate magazine, they mentioned perhaps the low point of the non-debate, which I thought I would just relate to you, in describing how Senator Bob Bennett, Republican of Utah, delivered a speech on the floor of the Senate about the unimportance of presidential intellect. All truly presidential decisions, he argued, were so laden with unknowable facts and consequences that they must be made by instinct rather than intellect. Besides, he said, every president has smart people around him to make the decisions that can be made on that basis. People said President Truman was dumb, Bennett recalled, but Truman's gut made him great. And in case anyone was uncertain about whose lack of intellect Bennett was defending, he concluded reassuringly that the decision whether to use force in Iraq will be made in the president's gut, quote, not in George Bush's head, unquote. Well, I guess if that's the sort of debate that was going on this floor of the Senate, maybe it's just as well they dispensed with it. And we're happy to do some follow-up on our August 29th show, where we talked at length about the use of psychiatry in the courtroom and how we think it is sometimes inappropriate. We speculated over what would happen in the Yosemite killing case involving Kerry Stainer. And since our last program, it appears that a jury received the case for deliberation and in a matter of 6 hours concluded that all of the evidence presented from psychiatrists regarding Stainer's mental problems, evidence that the defense presented to, in an effort to spare his life, that he had a deformed head, that he had an obsessive compulsive personality disorder, that he obsessed about Bigfoot, all that did not work to make a jury think that he was not to be held accountable for his crimes. He was convicted, and it was recommended that he receive the death sentence, and whether he will do so was now in the hands of a judge. We'll continue to follow that case, but in the end, we're awfully glad that bogus psychiatric and psychological testimony did not sway the Stainer jury. All right, we got a couple minutes left on our first segment of the program today, and I thought I'd maybe lighten things up a little bit by quoting from a very funny book I ran into off my bookshelf called Duh! A Stupid History of the Human Race by a man named Bob Fenster. And among some excerpts I thought I'd share with you from the book that I thought were particularly memorable were some of the following. There was a federally funded law enforcement administration study that he noted that spent $27,000 some years back to study why prison inmates want to escape. Excellent use of tax dollars, don't you think? But I think that pales in comparison perhaps to a 1981 study done in Turkey, Turkish scientists apparently conducted a study to see whether disco music turned mice into homosexuals. It does, they concluded. And from south of the border, from Brazil in particular, Fenster delighted in quoting General João Figueiredo, who, after being elected president of Brazil in 1979, commented that, quote, "I intend to open up this country to democracy, and anyone who is against that, I will jail. I will crush." We wonder why there's problems with democracy in Brazil. In keeping with last week's discussion, perhaps, on whether or not UCD should go to Division I, comes this item. In the 1990s, a USC tailback had his mom's name tattooed across his chest. He had her name spelled Mabel, M-A-B-E-L, even though his mom's name was Mabel, spelled M-A-B-L-E. And let's close this segment with the following. There's been a lot of distrust of America's CEOs, our corporate leadership of late. And I think at this uncertain time, we might do well to examine a quote from wealthy petroleum mogul and art collector J. Paul Getty on the best way to get rich, which according to Getty is as follows. Rise early, work hard, strike oil. You're listening to Radio Parallax on KDVS 90.3 FM. I am your host, Douglas Everett. We'll be back after this short break.